welcome everybody to the busiest and most expensive time of the year, and also welcome to another fantastic, excellent, exuberant, adjectives. I don't even know. I ran out of grammar. There is what I did.
Adjectives. Yeah.
Adjective. I had it right. Perfect. Yeah. So welcome just to another episode of Game Over. I'm your host Simon Pazdor, with my faithful squad mates Adam Pazdor and Matthew Menny. How are we doing, lads?
We're doing great.
I'm still shaking off a cold, but otherwise okay.
Yeah, I'm slowly acquiring a cold. So I immediately made a run to the drugstore to pick up some stuff because I cannot get sick right now. There's just too much to do. Anyway, so we have some reports to do. First of all, I want to thank everybody who donated to us, not just to us Game Over, although we love you the most. I'm sorry to play favorites, but we do. We love you the most if you donated to Game Over specifically last year, but also everyone who donated in total to Pledgerama last week. We appreciate all of you. We did meet our goal, and we even exceeded our goal. So the total that we have there is $41,421.50.
I have an update from the website.
You have an even more update.
$42,654.
There you go. $42,654. Very good. Very good. So we crushed our goal, which is amazing. Thank you to everyone out there who donated. And everyone, even if you didn't donate, if you couldn't donate, even if you just shared and talked about it and just promoted it in your own special way, we appreciate everything you do, and thank you. But most of all, negative people have done it to us. And the gift cards have already been distributed, so we don't have to worry about that. All right. So, I feel like we're kind of in limbo. First of all, I feel like everyone's super busy. It's just that kind of year. But also, it just feels like we're in limbo before the juggernaut that is Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out this Friday/Thursday. Because this is the second game in a row that I've been called for where they don't have a midnight launch, but they have an 8 p.m. launch. So it's like you can come in an hour before they close, pick the game up.
Yeah.
So I got a call, so I'm probably going to do that. But to be honest, I bet I'll fall asleep before it's finished installing. Because the rumor has it that game is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, and it might even take up two PS4 discs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it's breaking.
It's been a while since I've seen any two-disc game.
A multi-disc game, yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen on the PS4, certainly.
Yeah. Probably the last one for me was Lord of the Rings The Third Age on the GameCube.
Yeah, I had Mass Effect 2 on multiple discs.
Was it 2 that had?
Yeah.
I thought it was 3. Oh, well.
I think 3 is only on one. It might even have been both of them. But to be honest, yeah, certainly I haven't seen it this generation. So that's the first one that does it. But this is like, I was trying to explain away. I was trying to think of an example from another medium of, like, the king returning. Because even if you don't necessarily like Rockstar games, which I know Adam's kind of in that camp, you're not a huge fan, but this is, like, the titan of industry. This is the juggernaut. Whenever they make a game, A, it feels new for years to come. Like, GTA 5 came out 5 years ago, and it still feels as fresh as some games that came out this year. But B, they change the landscape. Like, when they don't, like, make little hills, they make mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Dead Redemption, like, every one of their games is one of the biggest games of the generation. That happened for GTA 4. That happened for Red Dead Redemption 1, kind of. Red Dead Redemption, I know, because there's other Red Dead in the series. You know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
And it certainly happened for GTA 5. That was one of the big juggernauts early of this generation. This is one, I think we're in, like, the middle to second half of this current generation. And so it's tough to measure what the impact of this is going to be, but all the signs are pointing to this being, like, cataclysmic.
Yeah, even if you're not a huge fan of Rockstar games, like, I'd say the original Red Dead was, like, a B+ for me.
Mm.
Even if you're not a huge fan of it, like, everybody pays attention when a game comes out. Like, this is going to be kind of like Spider-Man, where it just took over, like, the online gaming talk for, like, weeks after it came out.
Yeah. It's like, the best way I could explain it is it's like the Beatles in their prime releasing an album. Like, you might not even like the Beatles that much, but that was the closest thing I could think of to, like, these guys are the head of what they do in the industry right now.
Yeah. If you follow video games, it's impossible to not be aware that this is coming out, even if you could not be less interested in it.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's certainly going to have huge impact. But no doubt, we'll talk about that as much as we can. We'll talk about that next week. We've still been, I think, slowly chipping away at Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I think I'm probably still in the lead. I'm close to 10 hours in now. And yet I still feel like I've just gotten through the prologue, and that's long enough to have beaten some games.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange. Like, I really just got to, like, the first, and here's what this game is about
Yeah.
moment. Or if you recall last week, I was talking about how you...
The title screen?
No, there's factions. So Athens versus Sparta, and you can go into an area and like weaken it and the other one and take over. I'm just weakening my first area, and there's like 30 of these things. So, this game has got to be truly enormous. How much have you guys sunk in? I don't think Adam's sunk in very much at all.
No, I haven't played since last week because you mostly had the Xbox at girlfriend's house.
Sorry. I wasn't even playing it that much myself. Matt, how much have you played?
Honestly, almost none. I've gotten really hooked on Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild. So it was just open world.
Yeah, just slowly making my way around to it. You know, only like 2 years behind or whatever.
Yeah, just a year and a half late for that one.
Yeah. That's been wonderful, though.
Yeah, it really is magic. So better late than never. What are you loving about Breath of the Wild this week?
Not the stuff I thought I would like about it. I was disappointed when it first came out that they were taking a step back from the temple design. Mm-hmm. Not from the design of the temples themselves, but that temples weren't going to be a massive part of the game.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just beat my first divine beast, or not beat, but you know, did the temple
completed.
For it.
Yeah.
Yes. And honestly, I spent the entire time just like wanting to rush through it so I could get back to just roaming around the open world and just doing whatever I felt like.
Yeah.
I'm normally not a massive fan of open world games. I like to do everything in a game, and that's generally not possible in open world games.
Especially this one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not even, there's no possibility of that, but really, honestly, I'm enjoying riding around on horses, fighting the enemies that I happen across, just, you know, crafting stuff, doing all the open world stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's more or less, I'm trying to remember our experience, I think that's more or less what we were saying, is it just the freedom of it. Mm-hmm. And once you, I think going into it, we both had trouble, as in Adam and I, with the fact that it doesn't really play like a game, in that, like, the previous, I mean, they basically defined what a game was, Ocarina of Time did, right? Yeah. And especially if you go back even further, they kind of define what that generation of games is. And so this redefinition involves breaking down what you previously knew. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of interesting that you're playing Breath of the Wild, because Breath of the Wild was one of those cases where, sort of similar to Red Dead Redemption, that it was like, this is what an open world game could be. And it's not really competing, I don't think, with Red Dead Redemption. It's like, hey, we can have, it's technically still an open world. I mean, it's definitely still an open world. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel in any way related. Like, the Venn diagram between those two feels like it's going to very little.
It's just a
overlap.
Little sliver in the middle.
Yeah, just a sliver in the middle.
You couldn't really be less different stylistically.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's an open world. You spend a lot of time riding around on horses, but, like, that's kind of it.
Yeah. That's part of the beauty of it, because I feel like a lot of games, including Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I think is still a good game, a very good game, I think a lot of games still chase that high, and it's like Red Dead Redemption is probably going to be the best. I mean, I say that about The Witcher. There's my Witcher thing. You can check it off on the bingo card. But The Witcher was the best at what it did. And I think the Red Dead Redemption might get close to even top it for some people. But Zelda, I think, needs to be commemorated for going in a totally different direction and succeeding tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did really well.
Yeah. I've had an enormous amount of fun collecting horses.
Really, I think I stuck with the same horse the entire game because I didn't want to change
no.
it.
I never having them all.
I didn't even bother with horses.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, it was, as soon as I found out, and sort of spoilers, that you can get around, let's say, not on a horse.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to do that, and then I never need to worry about horses again.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm a big sucker for mounts. When I played World of Warcraft back in the day, mount collecting was my thing.
Do you train them all, too, or you just collect them?
No, I try to get them all up, yeah.
And put them in a box.
Yeah.
Like a Pokemon?
Yeah, pretty much. Ooh, I like this one. Okay, let's get you good. Okay, you're done. Never see you again. Next horse. No, I don't know. I like going through and being able to choose, you know, have a big variety.
Yeah. Yeah, good. So, speaking of Nintendo, Super Mario Party, I mean, that's like a title that kind of snuck under the radar. But Super Mario Party came out either this week or last week. Either way, Matt and I both have it. We've played, I think you've played more than I have still, because I haven't played it really since we played it. Mm-hmm. But we got together because the big feature around this game was that you could connect two Switches. And first of all, I think we should say, for all the people who are like, another Mario Party? I think we can all agree this is the most different Mario Party potentially ever. I don't mean mm-hmm. that in that they, like, completely reinvented the wheel, like you're still rolling dice and being on a board, but there's a lot of it that's different. So you probably have memorized even more of it than I have, but each character has a normal dice, which only goes up to 6, mm-hmm. so it's more like a traditional board game, and they have their own special dice, so I played as Boo, and I had two of my 6 rolls made me lose 2 coins and didn't move, and then I had 2 5s and 2 7s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like,
oh,
go yeah. big or go home. And so a lot of them were like 0, 0, 1, 4, 4, 7, 7 right. or something like that.
Yeah, all the characters have like a character-specific dice that like, I think they tried to make them sort of suit that character.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's sort of hard. It's like, well, you know, what's Luigi's personalized dice going to be like?
Yeah.
But, you know, you have someone like Bowser where it's like, you know, maybe like 0, 0, 1, like 7, 8, 8 or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of them play with like risk reward, or some of them are like very consistent. I think like Koopa Troopa is like 1 and 5 4s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just, it just sort of gives you,
so did you roll that instead of your normal die?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You choose. You choose between.
So it's, so it's a probability game.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. And there's another sort of new mechanic in there, which is allies. So there are ally spaces on all the maps where if you land on them, you get a randomly selected other character that sort of acts as your buddy. So they get a die roll in addition to yours that adds like 1 or 2 onto your roll. So not a huge thing. But you also then get to use their personalized die. So yeah. if you collect like maybe possibly, unlikely, but potentially 2 or 3 buddies throughout the game, then you suddenly have your normal dice and maybe like 3 or 4 specialized dice
Ooh,
to choose from.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. I wasn't sure how I felt about that when I heard like character specific dice. I didn't realize it was in addition to, but I'm really liking it so far.
Yeah, it was a really neat twist. Like I recall even playing, I'm like, I really like this. I also mm-hmm. like the fact that it's not to 10. And it just feels like it's, like, that's such a simple change.
It's a normal board game.
But it's a normal yeah. board game. It doesn't feel like, cause, I mean, it's not, if you roll like 2 threes or a 1 and a 2 or something like that, and someone else gets like an 8 and a 9, like, they just feel like they're so far
yeah.
ahead. And that's,
Rolling a 2 doesn't feel quite so bad anymore.
Yeah, no, it's not so bad, especially if the max is like 7 or 8, like, that's not so bad. And even, again, even if you roll poorly, like, I rolled and I got the -2, so I lost a couple of coins, and that didn't feel so bad because I think the maps are quite a bit smaller.
Yeah, the maps
at least
are smaller.
When we played.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which
so
I wasn't
rip around.
I don't know that I'm a huge fan of the reduction in map size, but it definitely does go nicely with the sort of reduction in the roll size.
I think there's a balancing effect, because it's definitely like when we played games with our friends in the past, whoever owned that game and knew the mini games better usually did pretty well in the the Mario Party, just because they had played it more. Whereas this feels more balanced. So if you're winning games, you'll still do well, but everything is close enough that the guy who's in first might now be too far ahead to get the next star, or you always have a chance, it felt like.
Yeah, you don't have the situation as much where someone gets a star and the new one is so far away that you don't, that there's like no point in going for it.
Yeah. So that was all good. The mini games we didn't play, we certainly didn't play all of them, but all the ones that we played, I was a big fan of. They were like the motion control, but I think I'm blanking on the name of them. The Joy-Cons,
Joy-Con.
That's the one. I think they're pretty good. Like, especially the one that, remember that first thing that came out where you had like the balls in the box?
Yeah.
And you could like roll them around and figure it out. That was kind of like the proving that this technology was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, in any of the games that we were playing, have an issue with the controls, which is so rare.
Yeah.
Like, I'm used to playing Mario Party, and it's like, this game I like because it controls properly, and oh, now we have to do the one where we're on the jet skis, and it doesn't control properly because you can't aim.
Yeah.
But everything that we played seemed to be pretty okay. Has that been your experience too?
Yeah, definitely. I've been pleasantly surprised with the motion control stuff. I'm not a fan of motion controls just in general.
Yeah.
And so, like, I did a couple of single player games when I got it before we tried it out together. And yeah, the first couple times a motion control game come up, I was like, ugh, like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And then I ended up, honestly, they're all quite good. I mean, with so many mini games, some of them are going to be duds.
Yeah.
But generally, the motion control ones have been quite good. I was actually a surprisingly big fan of one where you're just like flipping a steak, a cube of steak.
Yeah.
You know, using the Joy-Con like a frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll say the motion controls are better implemented here than pretty much any game I've played.
Yeah, I would agree. And especially because, like, we played it with, when the two of you and I were playing it, we were playing with Farron of TV Talkers fame. And she's got, I would say, some game experience, but not as much as you or I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to disrespect Farron, who's probably out there listening. But, like, you and I are hardcore gamers, and she's probably more in the casual side of things.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like, because the motion controls were so well implemented, it didn't feel like she was lagging behind at all. Like, it found a way to level that skill ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like if you played it with someone who had basically no video game experience, they would be able to get back up to as good as you could possibly be pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are just reaction times and like shake this or whatever.
Yeah, they seem to have gotten around the biggest motion control problem for me, which is you do something and it doesn't recognize that you've done anything.
Yeah.
I haven't had it happen at all yet.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. So that was the main party mode, but there were several other party modes. The first one was Toad's. It was Toad's basement.
Rec room.
Toad's,
I think,
like, rec room, I think, was what it actually called. And this is what we were really looking forward to, or at least what I was looking forward to testing it, because it's where you can connect two Switches together. And boy, was I underwhelmed. Partly because you and Farron. Now, in baseball, there's a mercy rule, Matt. But it was me and Wario, who I think was on medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against Farron and Matt playing baseball. And it was basically like, you know those, like, table hockey?
Yeah.
It was sort of like that, in that it was really cheesy baseball where you're, like, on a thing. And they beat me, like, 18-0. And after it was...
No, you got one run.
I got one? Yeah. Oh, congratulations to me. So after it was 11-0 in the second inning, I was like, guys, can we do literally anything else? And you're like, no, let's finish the game. So thanks for that. But yeah, that one you had a separate screen for the pitching and the batting, which... looked similar, like it helped a bit to be looking at your proper screen.
Although we were looking at the wrong screens for three quarters of the game before we realized what we were doing.
Yeah.
And like, boy, this is kind of small. It's weird that we have this view.
Yeah. Why are the controls backwards? Yeah, we figured it out eventually. Yeah, but there was
smart.
That one. There was one where you play as tanks, which was in the E3 demo.
Yeah, that one had made really interesting use of the multiple Switches, but the game itself wasn't that fun.
Yeah, and then there was a banana one. And I'm
also interesting use of the Switch, but... not that interesting of a game.
Yeah. So basically, for the people out there, you have... in the tank one, you had configurations. So the Switches were actually on this table connected. And then you can put them however together you want and then swipe with your finger across the two of them. And it knows now they're connected there. And so when you're driving your tank, you can drive your tank through that area and, like, arc shots across multiple Switches. Which was kind of cool, but the game was so simple.
Yeah.
And then the bananas one, it was just... you have to match bananas. So there's a banana on one screen, half a banana on the other screen, and put them together in a way that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the last one? The last one was like find the cards thing. It was very much like a game in Mario Party 5, where it was like you had a it like held up things. It like held up a card, like an ace of spades or whatever, and then you had to go find the ace of spades. And there,
were like four
of them out there, and so we all had to like race to find the correct one, and then it would like pick them up and switch them. That was kind of cool. Was that the one? I think that was the one.
I honestly forget exactly how it worked.
It was okay.
It would have been a perfectly fine minigame if they didn't bother with the double switch thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't particularly impressed by any of the double switch
No,
stuff.
I
it's
thought...
neat technology, but...
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of a cool tech demo where, you play it and you go, neat.
Yeah.
Now let's not do that again.
Yeah. Didn't need...
They were fine.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The third one was basically minigames all based on sound. Mm-hmm. So it was you had, like, all the minigames involved rhythm. Mm-hmm. And so you had to, like, raise a baton or beat a mole or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of fun. I enjoyed that you're a professional musician and I beat you at that. It made me feel good.
Musician, not a professional dancer.
It made me feel better about the fact that I'm going to purchase a drum kit. Yeah. In the next couple months. I was like, yeah, my rhythm's on point. Sure, I can justify this purchase.
I had a surprisingly good time with that mode, actually.
That was actually pretty fun. And then the one that we played the lion's share of our time with, which was a lot of fun, was one where you're all on a raft. And so it basically branches off into multiple areas. And so while you're on the raft, you all have to paddle to try and move forward and steer the raft.
Steer left and right down the river.
And you can steer toward either away from obstacles or toward minigames. And then completing the minigames, which were very quick, like 30 seconds maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep moving on, and that would get you time. A lot of fun. That one was actually a blast.
Yeah. I think it was quite easy. The sort of gimmick was you wanted to do well enough in the minigames to like bank enough time that you could get to the end of the river before your time ran out.
Yeah, I didn't feel we were ever in danger.
No, we were never close to being in a rush.
Yeah.
So they could probably make it a little more difficult. But... it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that was pretty much it. So. Yeah.
And then a normal game.
And then a normal game, yeah, which we kind of already talked about. But I say thumbs up from me if this is what you're looking for. I mean, it's gonna come out occasionally. It's like, what are we going to do at the party? Want to play Mario Party? Yeah. And then it'll be a lot of fun for a couple hours. That's exactly what you need Mario Party to be.
Yeah.
So it does its job.
Yeah. I'm having a great time with it so far. I'm a big fan. I will say the online is incredibly stupid. but I feel like most people are doing local multiplayer for Mario Party anyway.
Yeah, so. And connecting two Switches was kind of... like, you don't even get popped into a main menu. You just have to do it in this weird, like, Switch menu first.
It's weirdly difficult to connect. And
yeah.
It took us quite a while to get it set up and going.
The moral of the story is, if you're like us and you have a friend who has a Switch, and you're considering buying two of them just to play the together minigames, don't. Maybe split it or do whatever you want to do. But
if you already have two copies, then, like, yeah, maybe give it a try. The minigames are all right.
I wouldn't go out of your way to try it, though.
No.
Yeah. So, a couple more interesting bits of news, and I do have a topic that I'm curious what you guys think. But in addition to Red Dead Redemption coming out this week, so is a Spider-Man DLC. Is that a good choice by them to come out so close to Red Dead Redemption?
Well, maybe. I don't think it's a great choice. I think it'll probably be fine. I'll phrase it that way.
what an amazing review.
Well, only because I think there's going to be plenty of people who are just, you know, still playing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And not everyone will buy Red Dead on launch day. So it's like,
we'll see what the sales numbers are.
Well, it's like, yeah. You know, I'm not going to run out and buy this. So here's something to do in the meantime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they probably want to get it out before the holiday season really kind of gets into gear.
Yeah, they have one coming out each month, and so there's a bit of trailer, but that tells you basically nothing. But this one is based off Black Cat.
Which is not a surprise.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And then no one's really sure what's going on in the second one. The third one is called, like, Silver Lining, so obviously it's going to deal with Silver Sable. So we'll see what happens with that, but we don't have too much to talk about with that because it hasn't come out yet. Last but not least, there's been just a whack of news about The Witcher on Netflix. So we're not going to go into the controversy, we're not going to go into the casting, we're not going to go into the writing, we're not going to go into any of that, because we don't want to deal with that. But I think it would be a fun time to talk about, this could even be a crossover with TV Talkers, what other games should be Netflix/HBO/whatever special? So not a TV show, okay? Not like a weekly thing. But what deserves to get 8 to 10 episodes, high production quality, what deserves to get that treatment?
Well,
I think there are a few obvious ones to get off the bat.
My usual answer, Pokemon already has a show, so I guess that's out.
Yeah, that's true.
So that one's
doing pretty well for itself.
I'll pick up one of the obvious ones and say God of War.
God of War, really? Okay, I wouldn't have said that was the obvious one until 5 months ago.
Well, yeah, but now that 5 months ago happened, it seems like a very obvious one to me.
I guess so. Even though that game pretty much is that experience.
Yeah, I know, but like they could bridge, because at the end of the thing, they time skip forward, what is it, like a year?
It's a year in like a dream sequence.
Yeah,
thing.
It's weird. But my point is, if they wanted, they could bridge whatever time gap they wanted to in the TV show, and then they could skip it for the game.
That's true.
And then
or they
like,
could do
go watch the TV show.
A prologue.
Yeah.
Because they're, I mean, he's older.
Yeah.
It's an unspecified amount of time between God of War 3
and God
of War 4.
There's a huge gap there that you could fill with TV show time of just Kratos being Kratos for a change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or even just basing it on one of the original trilogy.
Or that. Yeah. Make God of War 1 again, but as a miniseries, I'd watch that.
Yeah. I think as a show, it might work better to assume that even a sizable amount of the audience hadn't played the game.
Yeah.
So it might just be better to like have nothing really in it that you need to have played the games to know.
Interesting.
And the concept of the first God of War is so simple. It's like, here, Spartan warrior made a deal with, well, effectively the devil, but the
Hades,
God of War.
Ares,
but yeah. But Ares is much more the devil of Greek mythology than Hades is.
Yeah.
Anyway, made a deal with Ares, and then, you know, now is screwed and out for revenge. Like,
that's pretty simple.
Stuff has been built on less.
That's true. I was going to say the obvious one to me felt like BioShock. You could either do BioShock Infinite or BioShock. I mean, it's so, like, it's I love it when shows have philosophy in them, and I don't mean, like, are about philosophy, like The Good Place apparently is, but I mean when they're, like, about something and you have themes that go through, and that's what BioShock is. And the setting of either Rapture or Columbia in the sky, obviously, both to me scream potential.
Mm-hmm. I think Infinite would make an excellent, like, limited series.
Yeah.
Like, 10, 12 episode run, just, like, boom, that's it. It would work really well with that.
Yeah. Especially because, like, I mean, we're not going to spoil the ending. I guess we already did spoil the ending. But because of the ending of Infinite, I think it works well for that kind of mind-blowing stuff. Like, this was your experience, but everyone else's was different.
Yeah.
They could even do something twisty with that. Maybe, like, sort of like Clue, where they have, like, different endings. Not, like, three and not, like, 1,000.
Yeah.
But maybe you film different, like, there's a few variations. And maybe depending on what country or something it is.
Something like that, yes.
That could be cool.
Yeah, play on that somehow. If they did the first one, they'd have to really, like, they'd have to lean into something else because the twist is so famous now.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to have it.
Famous to gamers.
Yeah.
But it might catch the eye of people who, and also, what, BioShock 1 come out in, like, 2008?
Yeah.
So. Might be a fair amount of people who don't know it.
Yeah, there'd be plenty of, like, younger gamers now, not even that young, like, teenage gamers now who never played the original BioShock.
Or, like, again, people who are tangentially, like, people who know gamers might watch it with somebody but might not know it themselves, right?
Yeah, that's true. So I think that one's worth doing because just the ending of that would be so spectacular.
Yeah.
And if it's something like Netflix even, I don't think we want to underestimate like the size of an audience that Netflix can generate.
Yes.
There's going to be tons of people who are just like, that looks cool, have no idea that it's based on anything.
Yeah. Just called BioShock. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've heard of that game before. Oh, well, let's watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh!
Matt, do you have a pick?
Yeah, the first one that came to my mind was Final Fantasy. Specifically, I love Final Fantasy 15.
Uh-huh.
I had a weird relationship with that game and that I sometimes absolutely loved it, sometimes hated it. Some things were so excellent in it, and other things were just frustrating and disappointing. But the story was really great. The story, the setting, the characters were all solid. So I think that would work really well as a show. And it's similar to God of War in that, like, it's a very simple idea that you could do a lot with it, you know? Like, Prince of a Fallen Kingdom tries to retake his throne.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very simple.
Like, easy plot line, you know, hijinks ensue along the way.
Would you have it live action, or would you do it, like, anime style?
My first reaction is to go live action, but I don't think Final Fantasy has a great, or not Final Fantasy, but I don't think there's a ton of success to be had with making a live action sort of anime-ish type thing. Those tend to not be very good.
Cough, definitely.
So,
yeah,
Final Fantasy also seems to be a big fan of the, like, photorealistic CGI that tends to age very quickly and badly. So probably, like an anime style.
Like Castlevania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Although on the way here, I was thinking I'd love to see a short sort of comedy based on the Stanley Parable.
Oh, yes, man.
I think that would be great. I don't even know what the plot would be.
Well,
just
no,
normal
it's
sitcom
every
stuff.
Every episode is one run through the game. And then you can make literally as many as you want.
Oh, that could be interesting. Yeah.
That could be fun. See, I hit on one. I thought the BioShock was the obvious one, and that's why I figured that you guys would jump on it. And by the way, no, we're not going to say Mass Effect, even though it probably
it
could.
Would be really good.
Yeah, it would be really good, but no, that's not what I'm picking. But the one that I thought, when I came across it, I was like, this just makes too much sense, especially in this climate. It is Infamous.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Infamous is like, I mean, we're in the time when superheroes were, the bubble hasn't burst yet. I mean, people it might be close to bursting. It might be very full, but we're still in the superhero bubble. And I think that would be a fun way to have something not Marvel or DC related, but still very superhero. And the world that Infamous created was quite unique, where basically, for those people who haven't played it, you become a superhero, but you become a superhero essentially as the result of a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And so people kind of very much resent you for being a superhero, and the story in that game is very strong. The setting is very strong, the story is very strong, and it's in the game, it's kind of told to you via these comic book style cutscenes, but I think that would work really well. And his power set, like, he's got lightning powers, but they're not like crazy, like Electro can kind of turn into energy and like fly around.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do that. He just is more like a machine gun of electricity, which seems like it would be way easier to
pretty budget friendly.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Which is important. And then he only really gets like his full lightning power set at the very, very end.
Right.
For like the final confrontation. So yeah, I would really like to see that.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if that was done as a show, if Cole was like the good guy or the bad guy.
Ah. Yeah, because you do kind of get that choice.
Yeah. I would imagine for a show they would probably go good.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see.
That's true. I think that game kind of came out and it was the height. Good versus evil, like good, bad choice.
Moral choices.
The height of moral choices. Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see him kind of ride the line as pure gray, honestly. Like, they didn't really let you do it in the game, but it's like if maybe he makes an evil choice and all of a sudden he gets a different power, or it starts to corrupt his soul and his lightning turns a little red and he's got to make a choice.
That's
there.
That's kind of a neat idea.
And it ends up being purple.
Yeah. It's probably more interesting that way than going pure good or bad that you're sort of forced into in games most of the time.
Yeah. By the way, if you're interested in a show like this, watch Black Lightning on Netflix.
There you go.
It's not exactly the same thing, but it is a politically charged, very relevant show about a guy with lightning powers.
There you go. So there you go. And speaking of TV shows, there's an excellent episode of TV Talkers coming your way. We'll see you guys next week. Once again, thank you for donating. We love you all, and we'll catch you next week.